This is Karis LeVert from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
Let's hope we get good Karis in this series for the Cavaliers and the Magic.
We get good Evan and good Donovan and good Darius, too. Jeez.
We need good everybody, right, in this series?
I would say the only person that's really been consistent this year has been Jared Allen.
Yeah, he has been from start to finish, right? For the double-doubles, how many in a row, and coming off the horrible series he had against the Knicks last year. Yeah, he stepped his game up. I agree with you. And let's hope that continues now into the postseason, because this is when it gets physical, and that's an issue for him.
We want to see if this team really responds to the way everybody says you have to play in the postseason. Slow it down. Play better defense. This team, usually, they like to hang their hat on the fact that it's a good defensive team, but they slipped defensively this season.
Yeah, they did. They ended up 48-34, which is three games less than last year, right, victory-wise, but still in the number four spot. And that was my point, too. I wasn't caught up on how many wins. Just get one of the top four spots so you have at least home court advantage in the first round.
Right.
And so they ended up in the same spot that they were last year.
Fine.
Different opponent this year. It's the Orlando Magic, which we all think is a better matchup. Let's find out if our next guest thinks so as well. We go to the hotline right now. He's been covering the team. Gosh, we'll ask him exactly how many years. But for Cleveland.com, follow him on Twitter at Chris Fedor. He is Chris Fedor. C-Fed, how many years now on the beat for the Cavaliers?
Oh, boy, 10 years now at this point.
Has it really? Wow.
Yeah.
You've hit the 10-year mark. Did you get a... Did you get a watch or something for that since you hit the 10-year mark or no?
What I get, they offered me a bunch of different things. They gave me a catalog, and I went through, and I was responsible for picking out what I wanted.
Nice.
They had rings. They had watches. I think I took a travel bag because of how much I travel. I don't know.
Smart.
Nice.
I got a piece of chocolate the other day when I was there on Friday at WHBC. I enjoyed that for two seconds.
Hey, C-Fed, is this a real story I read yesterday that the guy, the owner of the L.A. Clippers, took up the tab for the concessions for their entire facility on the last game of the regular season?
Yeah, from everything I know. That's
unreal.
One thing that you can say about him as an owner. He is very, very wild, right, during games. He's very animated. He's into it. But everybody that I talk to inside that Clippers organization, they rave about the things that he does, the commitment that he makes to that organization.
Wow.
They obviously have a big new arena coming, a big new practice facility coming. So he has put everything into trying to make the Clippers one of the best teams in the NBA.
I can't fathom that.
Steve Ballmer, I love
unreal.
Watching his reactions at games. And C-Fed, he's worth $122 billion. That's like a little party for him picking up the tab for everybody at that game, right?
That's true, but not everybody who is a billionaire would do the same thing.
That's right. That's right.
They like their money. They like to hang on to their money. So for him to give back, that's a big deal.
Unless you're Shohei Ohtani and somebody's embezzling $16.5 million from you.
And you don't even know about it, allegedly.
That it's missing.
Unreal.
Yeah, allegedly. Okay, very good. All right, Chris, the question I was going to ask you right out of the gate as we started this interview I mentioned on the radio here is this the best matchup of all the matchups the Cavaliers could have gotten in the first round, Orlando and Cleveland, in Cleveland games 1, 2, 5, and 7, I believe?
No, I actually think Indiana would have been a better matchup for the Cavs, but I think it's very, very close. And the only reason that I say Indiana is because there are certain types of teams that the Cavs tend to struggle against, or there are certain types of teams that can give the Cavs a matchup problem. Doesn't mean that they're going to lose the games or lose the series. But Indiana is the kind of team that the Cavs handle usually. They're free-flowing. So much of what they do is out in transition. They don't guard anybody at all. They're not overly physical. They don't have brutes. Their biggest player is Miles Turner, and he's more of a finesse stretch center. So the level of physicality that would have been in that series is very different than what the Cavs are going to see against the Magic. But either one of those teams, I felt coming into the final day of the regular season, that if the Cavs got either one of them in the first round of the series, that they had a strong chance of winning it.
Chris, does the regular season matter? I mean, the win total, does that really make a difference? Because I think a lot of us, we watched this team, and albeit with all the injuries and everything, expectations were, in my opinion anyway, or I thought they would eclipse 51 games. I know that's a lot. But do we look at the win total and say the season was either a success or not? Kenny made a great point. They still end up in the number four spot. So maybe the entire East is down a little bit as well?
I don't think, coming into this season, guys, I just don't think there was a level of what happens in the regular season is going to define success or failure. I think everybody inside the organization, players, coaches, front office members, they all admitted that their judgment was going to come in the playoffs. And they earned that. You know, a couple of years ago, they went from 44 wins, then they jumped up to 51. So, like, there are steps that this organization was taking, and they already took that regular season step. So, to me, this regular season was just a means to an end. And part of the reason why they finished with 48 wins as opposed to 51 or 53 is because no playoff team lost as many games to injury, suspension, or anything along those lines the way that the Cavs did. No team lost more games than the Cavs that made it to the playoffs. They lost the fifth most games to injury, suspension, or whatever in the entire NBA. And the other teams that have that number of losses, they're all headed to the lottery. So the fact that the Cavs were able to withstand those, overcome those, and win 48 games, When Darius Garland and Evan Mobley were lost for six straight weeks, teams around the NBA were calling the Cavs saying, hey, you giving up Donovan Mitchell? You guys have no shot to stay alive. You guys have no shot to make the playoffs. You're going to be missing too much. And they were able to weather that. And then even when they played bad basketball in the second half of the season, because their best player, their most important player, only suited up for 11 total games in the second half, they still found a way, going into the final game of the regular season, to be competing for the second spot in the Eastern Conference. So given everything that the Cavs had to deal with, given all of the circumstances tied to this season, I think it's fair to say that they overachieved in the regular season. Nobody thought they were going to win 48 when they lost as many guys that they did. And I think it's a testament to the front office, to J.B. Bickerstaff, to the entire organization, that they were able to keep it together in a way that some of these other teams that had the same number of injuries, they just weren't able to keep it together the same way.
Chris Fedor is our guest, outstanding Cavaliers beat reporter, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer, breaking down the Cavs Magic series. Chris, let's start with the injuries. Give us an update on Wade, Mitchell, Garland, and LeVert, where we're at with each one of those guys before Saturday's game one at 1 o'clock.
Well, Donovan said yesterday that he was 100% coming into the series. I don't buy it. I don't think he's going to be 100% for the remainder of this year. I just think it's something that he's going to have to deal with when it comes to his knee issue. I've been told that it's classified as soreness and knee maintenance, but it's basically knee tendonitis. So it's something that he's just going to have to deal with, trying to play through it, try and understand how he can move, how he can't move, what movements he can make, what movements he can't make. And it's just something that the Cavs and Donovan are going to have to continue to manage in the off days and take advantage of those opportunities. The way that he has taken advantage of this week, having the long stretch that he has had because he didn't play in the finale, that has allowed him, obviously, to feel better. That has allowed his knee to recover a little bit. But him saying that he's 100%, I think that's just, you know, Donovan being Donovan. It's gamesmanship going into the first round of the series. He doesn't want to show any kind of weakness. He doesn't want the Orlando Magic to have any kind of feeling that he's less than 100% and maybe try and exploit that in some kind of way. Right. Dean Wade is the one that there's just not a lot of clarity on. It's a sprained knee. It happened in his first practice after coming back from personal leave. It happened at Rice University before the Cavs were going to play the Houston Rockets in mid-March. So it's been about a month now that that knee has been bothering him. He is not going to play in game one. The Cavs are preparing as if he's not going to be available in game one. And if, and this is a big if, because there is no clarity, if he returns for this series against the Magic, it's going to be later in the series. It might be like game five, six, something along those lines. Because they're just trying to do everything that they can to get him on the court and get this problem to go away. And not a lot is working, to be perfectly honest with you. He hasn't done basketball activities. He's been limited to a lot of stuff behind the scenes in terms of anti-gravity treadmill and stuff like that. And it's just hard to expect him to miss so much time and then come back right in the middle of a playoff series and be healthy and effective enough to actually help this team in the series. So I think they have to prepare as if they're going to go into this entire series against the Magic without Dean Wade helping them. Caris LeVert, fine. He's practiced both days. No issues there. Darius Garland, fine. He's practiced both days. No issues there. And he actually stayed a little bit longer today to get some extra shots. So Dean Wade is the one, and it could be somewhat problematic for the Cavs because the Magic are big, they're long, they're athletic. I think they have one player on their entire roster that's under 6'3". So when you're playing against a team like this, you need somebody like Dean Wade, who is about 6'10", mm-hmm. and he guarded Paolo Banchero in the regular season matchups, the second most of anybody on this roster. So it is a loss that I do think the Cavs are going to feel.
I totally agree with that, and I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks because they're so frustrating at times to watch. Chris, let's talk about playoff experience and how big of a deal it is. And did the Cavaliers really learn anything when they get blown out four games out of five last year against the Knicks? You're coming in against a team with virtually no playoff experience, yeah. but that team is hot and they're up and coming. You're a 4.5-point favorite. What do you expect them to have learned, and what do you expect from the game plan, especially in game one?
I think it's pretty simple in terms of what they've learned. I think the main thing for them is that they learned what playoff physicality is, and they've learned what playoff intensity is, and they've learned sorry, Elliot.
Elliot. Hey, what's Elliot up, Elliot? How are you, buddy?
He wants to talk about the Cavs magic as well.
Pick a winner for us. Tell him to pick us a winner.
He's saying that's that he's awesome. All done because we just parked the car, so he's ready to get out. No, I mean, I think when you're in that environment, it's one thing for a lot of people to say, hey, this is what the playoffs is going to be like. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the difference between the regular season and the playoffs. This is the level of physicality that you're going to feel. This is the level of intensity that you're going to feel. This is the level of chaos that you're probably going to see in a seven-game series. You have to feel all that stuff. You have to experience it for yourself. You don't know until you're actually there. So for this team to go through it the way that they did last year against such a physical team in the Knicks and in an environment that was as raucous as any that I've been into since I've been covering the Cavs, and I was at Oracle, right? I was at Toronto's Scotiabank Arena. I mean, the national anthem, I couldn't even hear last year for the first game in New York. The ground below me was kind of like shaking because it was such a charged atmosphere. So being in that and feeling that, it takes away some of the unknown for some of these guys. And I think it was a really, really important experience for the Cavs, even though it only lasted five games. And now it's been a complete role reversal against this Magic team because the Cavs have 359 games of playoff experience across their roster. They only have five guys who have never been to the playoffs, and none of those guys are going to be playing in this series anyway because they're the back end of the rotation players. The Magic have just four total guys that have at least one game of playoff experience. And 85% of the 91 total games that the Magic have of playoff experience come from two guys, Joe Ingles and Gary Harris. So it is an opportunity for the Cavs to do to the Magic what the Knicks did to them, and they're just going to have to find a way to do it.
Chris Fedor, our guest here, talking Cavs Magic basketball. Get ready for Saturday's game one in Cleveland. Eastern Conference playoffs, 4-5 matchup. Chris, we talked with Brad Sellers yesterday, and Brad pointed out to us back in 89, Cavaliers went 6-0 against Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the regular season and lost 3-2 on the shot, right? Well, this series was a 2-2 series in the regular season. Do we take anything from that, or do we wipe the slate clean completely, and how do we look at this series then?
Yes, I think you definitely learn something from those matchups. Right, you learn the level of physicality to some degree that the Magic play with. You get to experience the unique size that they have across their roster. You get to understand a little bit some of their strengths and their weaknesses, and you have some scouting reports and things that show up based on what happened in those four games in the regular season. But I don't think I don't think there is that much comparable when it comes to regular season basketball and playoff basketball. And that goes for the Magic as well. So I think to some degree you learn about the opponent, but you also understand that once this series starts, game one Saturday, it's going to be completely different. They're going to use defensive schemes that are different. They're going to try funky matchups that are a little bit different. They may use different lineups that they weren't willing to use in the regular season. So all of that kind of stuff could change going into game one. And of course, the pressure, the stakes, the intensity, all of that heightens once you get into game one of the playoffs.
Chris, what's your feeling on this series? How do you see this one playing out? I've got the Cavs winning. I don't think it goes past six games. I think they find a way to win this, and it'll be their first win in the playoffs without LeBron James since 1998. How do you see this thing shaking out?
So you know that Spider-Man meme on X, the social media thing, where you've got the two superheroes just kind of like pointing at each other?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this series is. I feel like the Magic are the Cavs of last year. They're very, very Cavsy to me. Their bench is inconsistent. It's dependent on what Mo Wagner is going to do. It's dependent on whether Cole Anthony is actually making shots off the bench. Their offense, it's the worst offense of any team that made the playoffs. They're a defensive-minded team. They like to play tough. They like to play physical. They like to get under skin. They like to compete. So a lot of the flaws that the Magic have are similar to what the Cavs had last year, and it's going to be up to the Cavs to exploit those. They're not a great three-point shooting team either. And I just think some of the changes that the Cavs made this offseason in terms of their personnel, I also think the experience that they added with George Niang, Marcus Morris Sr., Tristan Thompson, Max Strus, I think that is going to show up a little bit. I think the spacing that they can create on the offensive end is going to help them unlock some things on offense that they couldn't unlock against the Knicks last year. So I do think that coming into this series, that the Magic have more exploitable weaknesses. And it's up to the Cavs to make sure that they do that. And I think experience is going to be a huge factor in this one. And I think Donovan Mitchell showing in the final two games that he played in the regular season that he can be more like himself, not to the MVP level that he showed at the beginning of the season, but more like himself with explosiveness, with burst, with change of direction, being able to beat guys off the dribble, being able to get some lift on his outside shot. All of that really, really matters to me as well. And I think the Cavs win this one in six. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be competitive. I think at times it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be a slugfest because they're very, very similar. But I do think the Cavs are a more well-rounded team, and I think they have more advantages that they can lean into as the series progresses. I just don't know that the Magic are going to have enough answers internally for their own flaws and limitations.
Chris, last thing, and I'll let you go. We agree that we think they're going to win. All right. What if they don't? What if they get bounced in the second straight year in the first round? JB Bickerstaff status, trades in the offseason. What might happen if that's the case?
If the Cavs lose in the first round, guys, there are going to be significant organizational changes. Front office, coaching staff, when it comes to their roster, overhauling that. It can be any of the above, all of the above, some of the above, but change will come to this organization if they do not get out of the first round. Because, like I said, coming into this year, coming off the flameout in round one against the Knicks, where they were embarrassed, I think there was like an understanding from people inside this organization that maybe looking back on that series, the team as a whole, the organization as a whole, just wasn't ready. So they saw some of their weaknesses, they saw some of their limitations, they went out, they feel like they corrected those, they can't lean on the lack of experience thing this year. So everything this year is about getting past the first round of the playoffs, taking the next step as an organization. And there's just no way that the main decision makers inside this organization could look at this season and say, it's a success if we lose in the first round to the Orlando Magic. Just no way, because this is about taking the next step. This is about winning a playoff series. This is about being more competitive and learning from all the bad stuff that happened in the first round against the Knicks. And if they lose in the first round, then it becomes a bunch of different things, and it becomes a team and a roster and an organization that looks very, very different when it comes to starting training camp next year.
I hear you, and I agree with everything you just said, Chris. Let's hope that's not the case and the step is taken in a positive direction, and then we'll see a second-round matchup more than likely with the Boston Celtics. And if that's the case, we'll be bothering you and Elliot again to come join us on the show, all right?
I mean, the other thing is, when it comes to Donovan Mitchell, I think he would look for an exit strategy too, right? Because he didn't he's somebody who has never gotten past the second round in the postseason, guys. And that is something that eats at him. That is a reputation that is starting to follow him. So he's looking to see, is this organization to the level that is going to allow me to compete for championships? Is Darius Garland ready? Is JV Bickerstaff ready? Is everybody else inside this organization ready to compete for the same things that I want to compete for? And if he determines that that answer is no, and he doesn't sign the contract extension, then the Cavs have to consider moving on from him too and seeing if they can recoup some assets. So it would be a big, big summer for the Cavs if they lose in the first round to the Magic. And,
Chris, buckle up. I agree with that too, but he needs to prove that he's correct, worthy of it though too, not just the Cavs, right? He has to show up in this first round.
Back-to-back first-round series where Donovan Mitchell just was not good enough, and he knows that. He got outplayed 2 years ago by Jalen Brunson. He got outplayed last year by Jalen Brunson, too. He can't allow himself to get outplayed by Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, any of these guys. This is where, you know, Donovan has to show up and be the guy that he believes himself to be after, you know, two pretty bad performances in back-to-back years, and he knows that. And it's one thing for him to say it, but now he has to go out and actually do it.
Great stuff as always, Chris. Enjoy the series. We may see you down there, and thanks for making time for us.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
There he is, outstanding Cavs beat reporter, 10 years on the Cavs beat for Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Fedor. He is Chris Fedor.